Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Matt Sims, former NFL QB, the co-host of the Sims Complete podcast. Matt Sims and Phil Sims. You can check that out on the Believe Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcasts at as well. Matt, I appreciate you making some time for us, my friend. How you doing?
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys as well, including me in your show today. And let's talk some ball. Let's talk some QB play. Because that's all that matters in the NFL nowadays, just the quarterback conversation. Let's get into it.
I like the way you put it. I am, I don't want to put this, Matt. I'm just now getting to reap the benefits of having a tremendous NFL quarterback. I'm a 27-year-old Washington Commanders fan, Matt. So this year, this year for your boy, Matt, was like being on cloud nine. Jaden Daniels comes in, lights the NFL world on fire, punches Washington's ticket to the conference title game for the first time since the 90s. Just a bunch of feel-good stories around the nation's capital. We'll get to Jaden Daniels here in a second. Matt, I got to start off by asking, though. I know you heard the lead-in to you coming up here. I mean, Shedeur Sanders in the slide that we saw him have in this NFL draft, I thought was perplexing at best. And eventually, you know, I began to feel sorry for the kid, especially when you consider the prank calls that he and other, you know, NFL draft prospects were receiving. What was the first thing that popped to your mind, Matt, when round one was in the books and his name did not get called?
Yeah, the round one stuff, like, it was kind of like you heard some rumors that it could go and all that. I think going forward, just big picture, we really got to pay attention to the people who are saying and doing these mock drafts and who is actually giving the information. Because, you know, sometimes I'm kind of curious. It's like, all right, did this person get this information from actual scouts that he knows, from GMs that he knows? Or is he just kind of pushing his own agenda on the rest of us in the football world and trying to convince others what he believes? You know, and I think we all can kind of figure out the people that I'm talking about that, you know, at times I think kind of, you know, they bottle us in a corner. And let's face it, too, for Shedeur, he has a very Tim Tebow-like effect with the media where it's very polarizing. People love to hate him. People love to love him. And I think for, you know, various news outlets, they get obsessed with the fact of, hey, our numbers are good when we mention Shedeur. So let's just keep mentioning Shedeur as much as possible, even if we don't really have that much more to bring to the table in this discussion, you know. And I think that's really, unfortunately, the power of the modern media in today's day and age was a little misleading to what was actually going on behind the scenes with these GMs, with the scouts, how Shedeur himself was handling the evaluation process and the interview process. And that's what we got to remember. This was an interview process for the business of football. And the truth is that I think Shedeur really just kind of missed the mark on what it means to interview as a potential franchise quarterback. That being said, it's all over now and he could still be the franchise QB. But it wasn't the ideal way for him to start his tenure in the NFL, or the way that a lot of us expected, or he himself expected as well.
Matt, I love the way you put it, calling it a job interview. I saw a quote out there on Twitter. I forgot who it's from. I don't want to, you know, not credit the person, but you pick up what I'm putting down here. They said something along the lines of Shador and his camp treated this pre-draft process like he was being recruited, not like he was being interviewed, like you said. If that is the case, is there a way that we can take a positive out of this, Matt? Positive out of this, Matt, where this is now a case study and an example for other NFL quarterback prospects, Matt, that want to go the route of not having an agent? Because that's another part that was lost in this process as well. Yes, Deion, you know, well-versed in the NFL because of, you know, his influence as a player, but this is 2025, right? And clearly somewhere along the lines, even Coach Prime got bad information.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, we've seen another case study in Lamar Jackson and him not having an agent and essentially relying on his mother and others within his camp to help navigate some of those choppy waters that young players have to experience in the NFL level. But, you know, I think Deion was on, like, the greatest heater of all time. I mean, I'll put it in that sense, right? From
yes,
Jacksonville, Jacksonville State, right? To Jackson State, excuse me, to Colorado, to just his sons and what they were doing and everything like that. So, of course, when you're on this heater, well, damn, I'm going to keep taking shots and I'm going to keep being aggressive and I'm going to keep gambling big and betting on myself. And unfortunately, he forgot that his son plays the most important position in the game of football, that, you know, to go through the process as like a corner. All right, you can say some of the things. You can carry yourself that way. You're a lockdown corner. We get it. But the QB position, there is a level of sensitivity that owners, GMs, coaches, they don't really give a damn about that crap. They want to make sure that you're a leader of men. Now, not to say that he's not, but just they want you to really tell them and why they should trust you in that process going forward for their franchise. So, Deion, hey, as well-versed as he is, right, and the truth is his son was playing the most advanced form of daddy football in the history of football. And, like, listen, good for him. It's awesome. Like, it is. It's amazing. And one day I hope to do that same thing for my son if he decides to play quarterback and do this world as well. But we do have to understand, too, that just the game is bigger than the individual at times. And the key is how can we make ourselves – an important part of, like, the greater nucleus of the sport of football, right? And that's really the ultimate thing, right? And that's why it is the ultimate team game. And I think that's why so many people, too, during the process kind of got turned off by how himself and the camp were handling. And, hey, what did Shiloh do? As soon as the draft was over, Shiloh was like, yeah, Dad, you've been great. Hey, Drew Rosenhaus, can you please represent me and get me a job? You know, it's really interesting kind of how this is all played out. I don't know if it's a case study for the future, because how many other people are going to say, like, they have the resume and the background and the lifestyle and all that the Shador family and Sanders family has lived the past few years.
So, Matt, the reason I brought that up, and this is a fascinating conversation, I think your perspective on it is so unique, knowing, you know, your family's background, and no better person to ask this, in my opinion, than you. When I mean moving forward and being like a case study, the idea of, I don't know how familiar you are with, like, the streaming world, there's going to be that quarterback, Matt, that comes up that is streaming everything that he does, that wants to be a part-time rapper. Like, they're guys, right, have different interests now growing up, man. Do you think that NFL teams will continue to be turned off by that, or is there a situation where the talent can supersede the other stuff and make you not care as much?
Well, that's a great point, and I think that is ultimately as well a discussion that a lot of these GMs and scouts had, was the fact that, you know, for me, I thought Shador was a first-round draft pick. I valued him as that. I defended him that way, too, of saying, yes, I understand he's not the most athletic. He doesn't have the rocket for an arm. I get all that. I understand he takes sacks. I understand why you get turned off by some of the interviews and the way that he answers things. That being said, though, I like the fact that he is just who he is. He's super confident. He doesn't give a damn what we think as far as his evaluation and all that. And for me, like, if I was a head coach, yeah, I would have no problem with Shador being my quarterback, because I'd be like, listen, this is how we carry ourselves. We don't give a damn about what people think about us. We're going to play. We're going to have fun. We're going to cut it loose. And, you know, big picture, you know, I think that's where a lot of the GMs and all that, they were just like, the circus of everything else doesn't match the quality of the athleticism and the things that we see on film so much. And it's hard, yeah, too, for even people like me who defend Shador, mm-hmm, to say, yeah, but like, I believe in his heart. I believe in his will. You know, I believe in the fact, yeah, that he just is that obsessed with the game. You know, and that's something that we can't quantify, right? Not right now. Maybe AI can solve those problems for us in the future and say, this guy's got a 98% will rating. But right now, yeah, we just don't live in that world. And hey, that was my calling card. I was talented as hell. I did a lot of stupid things in college to get benched a few different times, but I had tremendous will, and that's why I was able to survive and make it in the NFL for 6 years. So that's just part of the narrative that, yeah, we really can't quantify, no matter how much we analyze these players leading up to these moments.
Last thing here, Matt, on Shador, knowing the current landscape of that quarterback room, what type of shot do you give him to be? I feel like putting the opening day starter tag on him, Matt, is kind of hard, knowing how many guys he's got to beat out. But by season's end,
right,
if the over-under, Matt, is set at 5.5 games that he starts, you going over or under that?
5.5 games. I guess I'll go with under, and I would not be, okay, shocked, though, if we see every single quarterback on the roster currently get a start this year. yeah. That's just the situation. Now, I will say this, too. You know, when Dylan Gabriel was drafted, everyone was like, what a dumb pick. I mean, I don't know, man. The guy
isn't that college's all-time leading passer?
I mean, yeah, right? Like, he only has 60 career starts. He's only thrown 150 touchdown passes. Like, he's only been the dude at three different schools. Yeah, he's undersized. I get that. But just, like, he's got a rocket for an arm. He's a great, yeah, leader. He clearly knows how to play the damn game at a very high level. And I really wouldn't be shocked if Dylan Gabriel, at the end of this, is maybe the best quarterback that they have on their roster. That, wow, being said, Kenny Pickett, he's pissed off too from how it's gone for him. So the good thing for Kevin Stefanski is that he has an angry quarterback room that really wants to prove themselves. The problem with that is they got to remind themselves at times, hey, whoever Stefanski names as a starter, your job, right, not only to get better as a player, but is to, yeah, support the team and the guy who's out there. And then when your number is called, to expect that same respect in return when you are the guy that walks between those lines. And if not, that's where stuff can be kind of dangerous when you get in NFL locker rooms with grown men, if it gets a little petty and things of that nature.
100%. Joined right now by our guy Matt Sims of the Believe Podcast Network. He's the co-host of the Sims Complete Podcast with Matt Sims and Phil Sims. Make sure you give that podcast a follow on the X app at Sims Complete. You can download that wherever you get your podcast. Always good talking quarterback with you, my friend. The quarterback position, as you said when we led into this thing, the most important position in sports, the most polarizing position in sports as well. There's a little bit of a quarterback conundrum going on, Matt, in the Bay Area. The discussion on, well, how much is Brock Purdy actually worth? I have this rule of thumb, Matt, and I know it may be kind of off base based on the current landscape of the NFL, but I think those $55, $60 million a year contracts should be reserved for the four horsemen, right? Pat Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, Josh Allen, those guys that clearly, elevate others around them. I don't think Brock Purdy does that. He proved as much last year when the Niners had to deal with that injury situation. If you were in, right, San Francisco, what happens with Brock Purdy? Do you make him earn it over the next 2 years and use the franchise tag to your advantage, or do you cave and pay him before this season starts?
You know, you run the risk if you keep this going of you need some water. The hose is on, player. Go drink some water out of that hose.
Right.
All right, I'm working here real quick, buddy. I'll be right there, okay? But, you know, for Brock Purdy in that situation, if they keep it going, they run the risk of the price tag going up higher, right? And that's one thing. If they keep it going and it doesn't go that well, and then they try to pay him something that's below what he's really deserving, then it's really just kind of disrespectful to the whole evaluation process and all these interviews that I hear of like, oh yeah, we knew he was the guy as soon as we draft him as Mr. Irrelevant. And after one practice, all this, and you know, so it's kind of just like one of these things where it's just like, listen guys, if you really believe in him to be the guy, well then just pay him $80 million and move on and let's go. And for the fans out there too, who are hating on Brock Purdy or whatever, because you know, he looks like the dude next door that hangs out, you know, it's like, listen, dude's a baller. He's a really good football player. He's not going anywhere. And yeah, you know what? His team and his coach are better designed than your quarterback and your team, and that's your own personal problem. He has earned the right to get paid. He's been balling out. He has been an absolute just, like, fantastic story for the history of the NFL. There's no doubt about that. I don't think there's going to be any dip or decline in his game because he knows how to play the position, and he's got Kyle Shanahan. So that's not going anywhere. And this whole thing about worrying about money, well, don't worry because the next, you know, those four horsemen you talked about, pretty soon they're going to be having contracts where, like, they're going to get paid $100 million per year, right? And listen, just get comfy with it, guys. Like, it's not going anywhere. They're making more money than ever. You know, eventually we're going to have teams overseas in Europe. So the money's not going to get smaller by any means. And Brock Purdy has earned it. So let's not you know, beat up the kid for just being good at his damn position and earning it.
So let me ask you this. There was a consequence that has to come with paying Brock Purdy. You saw San Francisco really jettison a lot of their roster this offseason. Based off of what you think, what you just said, I feel like I know the answer, but I'll ask anyway. Do you think he has the chops, Matt, to overcome the now what I consider deficiencies of this roster?
Yeah, I do think that he does. I do. And you know, really, I think it's a kind of a thing for Kyle Shanahan as well, just that, like, what was working really well for him when they kind of were making that run. You know, hey, when you're really good, at the end of every year, you know what every team and scouting department does? They go and they watch the good teams and they see what they do and they're saying, hey, this is a great idea. This is how you stop this, how you stop that. And I think that's what happened too for Brock Purdy and for the 49ers. Their game got a little long in the tooth and they were holding on to, like, you know, hey, we're going to make a run with this team, and then, oh, it's the window and all that. You know, F the window talk, man. Every year is the window now, you know? Yes. So let's not hang on to this. Well, we paid this guy this, and, you know, we got to make it work with him. Hey, you could pay a player a lot of money and just move on, just like how the Atlanta Falcons did. You know, I think the Atlanta Falcons are still going to be a competitive team in the NFC South. Hey, they paid Kirk Cousins. It doesn't matter. Michael Penix is that dude. So don't worry about those things or just, you know, the perception of it. We're well beyond that. Now it's about just, like, get it done this year. That's all that matters. And, you know, for these you know, number crunchers and all that kind of stuff, hey, solve the problem after the fact. You know, other than that, you can be creative and build a really good team with a lot of money or a little money. The biggest thing is about just putting players in a position to succeed more often than not. And that relies on just great coaching and environment.
Matt, let me ask you this big picture question, and I'll give you some time to think on this because I'm coming out of left field with it. We're May 2nd, right? And, you know, off-season programs have gotten underway for certain teams. Rookie minicamp, get ready to get started. Is there a team this off-season, Matt, that made you go, you know what? Maybe they're flying a little bit under the radar in everyone else's minds, but to me, I think they're ready to take that step, whether it's getting to the postseason, whether it's being competitive in their division for the first time. Is there a team out there that you go, you know what? I love what they did.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, a fan favorite for a lot of us in the media are the New England Patriots, because it's like Vrabel, Drake May, and everything that they've done this offseason. It's like, that's the easy pick for us. But I guess more so, like, I'll kind of, like, reframe it a little bit where you're asking. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to just say two teams that, like, yo, you need to show up and get this going now, or else everyone's going toodles and we're starting over again. And that is the Arizona Cardinals and the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, these are two primetime assistants for the Philadelphia Eagles on the offensive and defensive side. They both went to their own respective places to start their own culture. They're both really good football minds. There's no doubt about it. Steichen and Gannon, they know what they're doing on both sides of the football. But now they got to piece it together. Now it's like, hey, you're in the AFC South. You got to string together a few games. You can't win just four games in the AFC South and think you're going to keep your job, right? And, like, the same thing, too, for the Arizona Cardinals. Now, I know, like, Arizona, they're pumped that they won, like, back-to-back games on, like, two consecutive road trips for the first time in like 20 years. But like, we clearly need to set the table and the bar a little higher for them going forward. Like, yeah. Kyler Murray, let's go. You're a franchise guy. Let's do it. Let's see it. You know, for that defense, they invested on getting just big, strong people. Walter Noel and Jordan Birch, Cody Simon. I mean, they got some bad, mean college dudes that are going to their rookie year. So Coach Gannon's got to do a great job of just, like, unleashing those young cats and try to cause as much havoc as possible. Hopefully Marvin Harrison Jr. Lives up to the hype of what it was last year and is that much more important. Trey McBride is one of the best football players in the NFL yes. that nobody knows about. So for it's sure. like, come on now, Arizona. We got to put it together. Indianapolis, we got to put it together. And, you know, those are two teams I think are they're under the radar, but it's kind of like put up or shut up right now for both of them.
Yeah, the Indianapolis situation is interesting. I wonder if the owner there, and I know it's a very nutty situation up top, I wonder if the owner will separate church and state, so to speak, and look at Steichen and Ballard as two individual cases, because let's just be honest. I mean, the Anthony Richardson thing isn't working out. And it's rare, man, that you get to swing and miss on a top five quarterback and keep your job. It's tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's unique for sure. You know, with Anthony, it's between the ears. It's not the talent. We know that.
Yeah.
You know, with Daniel Jones, like, listen, I would pencil Daniel Jones as the day one starter right now. I don't know if that's necessarily the position you want to be in, because I feel like whoever lines up behind center or snap one might be the first to fall on the sword, because people are going to start to save themselves if it doesn't go well. But that being said, there's a lot of good pieces offensively for the Indianapolis Colts. They got a good O-line. They got a really good skill group. And they just drafted arguably one of the best, you know, tight end prospects, well, since Brock Bowers. So that was only 1 year.
Right.
But still, dude's awesome, right?
Yeah.
The dude is awesome, right? And that's where he is going to be a yak machine. Him and Mo Alie-Cox at the tight end position are going to be a really good dynamic duo that way. Alex Pierce and Josh Downs, I think, are two highly underrated players. And, oh yeah, like, we saw Saquon and what he did this year. Well, I think Jonathan Taylor is capable of having a type of breakout
sure.
season like that after being underappreciated. So the Colts got a lot of pieces. And that's where it's like, man, like, it's time now. Let's go. And I'm a huge Daniel Jones fan, so I'm hoping that it works out for him.
For sure. Hey, man, Matt, that was awesome. First time getting to hook up with you on air, brother. That was an absolute blast, man. I enjoy you. I appreciate you making some time for us. I hope we can do it again soon, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I'm going to go hang out. I'm playing Fireman in the backyard.
I was about to say, I heard.
Right now, you know, you know, we're not messing around. We're putting out fires. We're saving communities left and right.
Love it.
So, hey, we're doing our thing, man.
Love it, man.
I appreciate the
it.
Thank you so much.
Always love catching up with my guy, Matt Sims of the Believe Podcast Network, the co-host of the Sims Complete Podcast. Matt Sims, Phil Sims, former New York Giants, great quarterback. Always love catching up with him. Getting his perspective on the Shador thing was interesting. And hearing him give Shador a first-round grade, also, I don't want to say it was interesting. I would say the word I'm looking for is it confirmed my thoughts and my beliefs on just how talented the young man is. We'll see what ultimately happens with him in Pittsburgh. We'll take a quick time out when we come back. We were talking about it before we brought on our guy, Matt Sims. NFL.com has put out power rankings post-draft. We will see where the Washington Commanders were ranked next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
NFL.com put out their post-draft power rankings, and I always think it's fascinating to see, you know, how teams stack up to the writers online after the draft. And I always feel like usually with these power rankings, Washington normally not viewed very favorably. We got some good information from the NFL last week as the schedule was set to be released on May the 16th. So make sure you keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. But there were some post-draft power rankings that were put out by NFL.com, and I'll be honest with you here. This is hard for me. I've seen other folks here locally chime in on where they were ranked. Our guy Ben Standig, he was with Kevin Sheehan last week. I saw him chime in on where Washington was ranked. I'll spill the beans to you. After punching their ticket to the NFC Championship last year, after winning 12 games, after having the offensive rookie of the year, the Commanders enter the 2025 season ranked sixth in the National Football League on NFL.com's power rankings. They are the third-ranked team in the NFC behind Philadelphia and Detroit. I don't necessarily understand why they're behind the Lions. They beat the Lions very convincingly. I know what Detroit was missing.
They got some players coming back, though.
As does Washington. So I'm not sure where that ranking fits, how accurate that ranking is. I think Washington's the better team. They have the better quarterback. They have the better personnel. It feels like to me at some of the key important spots, you would take Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel over every wide receiver in the wide receiver room for the Detroit Lions. They got us beat at running back. Their offensive line's better on defense. I like our cornerback trio better than theirs, with Marshawn Lattimore, Trey Amos, and Mike Samer still. I like our linebacker duo better than theirs with Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner. So two teams that are kind of evenly matched, but Washington comes in ranked sixth.
Seventh is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's a big deal, though.
Eighth is the Los Angeles Rams. Ninth is the Green Bay Packers. Tenth is the Minnesota Vikings. So not a ton of surprise there. I'll be real with you. There's an argument that I can make that I think Washington may be ranked too high. I would definitely put Minnesota ahead of Washington at this point when you consider what they did during this offseason. Minnesota's an Aaron Rodgers signing away from being the best team in football, in my opinion. I think the way they regrouped up front on their offensive line and defensive line, knowing what they already have at the skill position group, knowing they already have the best coaching staff in football, in my opinion, from their coordinators down to the assistants. I think Minnesota, after winning 14, 15 games a year ago, in prime position to have similar success coming up here next year. So we will see ultimately what happens. Washington ranks sixth right now in the National Football League. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, the position group that most desperately needs help post-draft for the Washington Commanders. That's next.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
1-800-636-1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. I'm about to lose my mind here in the studio.
About to?
Yeah, my phone is like doing this thing to where it's just not listening to anything I tell it to do.
Have you tried restarting it?
What are you? I'm trying to tell it to restart. It won't. This is so frustrating. I'm about to switch to an Android.
I got the Android, man.
No, I'm done with
iPhones.
Loving it. I'm done with iPhones.
Couldn't pay me to use one, but hey, people love them.
So. This is absolutely ridiculous how difficult this thing is to use. Why my phone is just malfunctioning in the middle of the show. Can you tell I'm annoyed by it?
A little.
Ridiculous. No, because I'm annoyed. I'm trying to be a great sports media professional. That's it. And this stupid phone does nothing but limit me.
Well, I'll tell you, I got it Samsung Galaxy S25 a few months ago in my tax return. I've been loving it, man. Been loving it.
That's my thing and my gripe with Android. What the hell is your phone called? A Galaxy S Superhero 96-41-89?
No, they have different models. This one's the Galaxy, and it's the S25 of the Galaxy.
Does the S25 make the S42 not do as much?
There's no S42. There's an S24. That was last year's model.
So did the
this year's model is S25.
Did the S24 in its battery model continue to get revamped as we were waiting the rollout of the S26?
I'm sure. Whatever.
I'm being facetious, and you're answering my questions realistically.
Sure, I know. I'm sure. I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure it's better than last year's. I don't know. I don't really care. I have last year's.
I hate Androids. Green bubble struggle. I'm annoyed, Chris.
I can tell.
My phone is just, like I'm here, and what we were talking about before we went to break is the position group that is in most need of outside help post-draft for the Commanders.
Would you like me to look it up on my Android?
Android. It's nothing I even needed to look up. I had some numbers written down here because, you know, I'm a good radio host. I prepare beforehand and find numbers to validate and, you know, confirm my argument. My phone is working so slow right now that I can't even use it. It's hot. It's lagging.
That sounds like a battery issue if it's hot.
Oh, I am PO'd, my friend. I am PO'd. Anywho, I hope my phone frustration doesn't allow me to be more fired up than I normally would be when it comes to the position group that I think is most in need of outside help.
Beautiful Very transition clearly. There, by the way. Just beautiful.
Beautiful. I look at the safety spot right now with Washington and go, well, you let Jeremy Chinn walk out of the door. His replacement is supposed to be Will Harris from the New Orleans Saints. And I'll say this about Will Harris. Love the highlights. I love everyone's highlights. Their highlights. Seems like a big hitter. Don't know how sure of a tackler he is. Don't know how good he is in coverage. That being said.
You got another guy from the Saints on defense recently, too.
Yes, we did. But who are you referring to?
Lattimore.
Oh, Marshawn Lattimore, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I assume they have played together and has some chemistry already is what I'm getting at.
So that's like the saving grace, I would say, Chris, about the Will Harris signing. And I'm not trying to – you know how I do this, Chris. I'm not trying to dunk on anybody. I'm just raising a concern that I have. If you share the concern, call us at 1-800-636-1067. How can you sleep good at night knowing what's in your safety room? You're an injury away from Quan – you're an injury to Quan Martin away from you having practically nothing. Now, here's the thing. Obviously, when I say nothing, that's not to discredit the guys that are under contract. But Percy Butler, shoot my shot right now. He is the best gunner in the NFL on punt. But I don't know if he is ready for a full-time role on the defense. Jeremy Reeves. Quite literally, all-pro Revo, one of the best special teams players in football. If he had to get pushed into a starting role, that would be the reserve that I have the most confidence in. If you had to ask me, well, now who do you want to start a strong safety next to Quan Martin? Is it Will Harris, Jeremy Reeves, Tyler Owens, or Percy Butler? I choose Revo. I think Revo's got the smarts. I think Revo has the respect of the other guys in the locker room where they're not going to want to let him down. And I think he could just flat-out tackle and hit, man. The other guys, I'm not so sure of. Here's the thing, though. Even behind Quan Martin, if Quan Martin goes down, Washington doesn't have a safety, in my opinion, that has the range to be able to work hash to sideline, right? Like, they don't have a rangy guy in their back end. If they want to go cover one and give themselves some more flexibility, who's the guy? Who is the guy that, you know, is the replacement? That's what I struggle with. That's what I don't understand. So when I look at the position of need for the Commanders that is in most need of an upgrade, I would say safety for sure. Now, I think that's a credit to the other position groups on the team. I know a lot of people are going to say defensive end. The way I view defensive end is very clearly they are much higher internally on their guys that they have. They're much higher, rather, internally on their guys than we are as media and fans. They like Dietrich Wise. They like Javonte Jean-Baptiste. They think Cleveland Farrell has a chance to turn into a good player. So I love all of this. I love all of this. I think this team is going to be a lot harder to make this time around, and I think that's a good thing. I really do. To me, though, the biggest question is safety. If it's not safety, I would probably have to go with the defensive end spot. But all in all, competition rules the day. What's the old Pete Carroll adage? Competition everywhere, all the time. That's what's going to happen this year in Washington at the safety position and at other positions. Like I say, it will be the most difficult Commanders team to make in recent memory because they've improved the floor, they've added depth. And I love everything about it. One final segment to go before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. We got Nats baseball coming your way at about 6:10. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler, get you warmed up with that. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, talk a little NBA postseason. Game 7 between the Clippers and Nuggets later on tonight. Who do I got? I call my shot next. One final segment left to go before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. You've been tapped in. The youngest in Charles and L. Willingham will take you up to 3 o'clock. Keep it live and local on the fan all afternoon long. You can check out the Infinity Sports Network for the next couple hours. And starting at 6:10, Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up for Nats and Reds with Nats on deck. So make sure you keep it on the fan for that. Super excited to catch back up is what I would say. With the curly W's during the NFL draft. And the thing about baseball is, and if you're a baseball savant out there, you understand what I'm saying. The thing about baseball is if you don't follow it every day, you can get lost very quickly in terms of what's happening in the current state of the team. The NFL draft in that like 3-day extravaganza kind of took my attention away from the Washington Nationals just a little bit. Philly took 2 out of 3 versus them this past week. They dropped one to Cincinnati last night. That's the first game of this series. And look, I will be very real with you. Ain't no shame to losing to the Cincinnati Reds. They're playing really good ball right now. Hunter Green was absolutely awesome last night, punching out 12 as the offense for the Nats. Kind of has struggled here a little bit. The first game of that series against Philadelphia, they were able to drive in, you know, six runs, but two runs here, two runs there, one run yesterday. During their Met series where they were able to, you know, split with New York, I thought they looked good. And to do that against New York, a team that, you know, many would consider on the short list of championship front runners, was super impressive to me. As we sit here right now with the Washington Nationals, there are a couple of things that stand out statistically to me that really give me, you know, room for optimism. If I would have told you back in the winter that through 33 games, K-Bear Ruiz would have the best batting average on this baseball team, what would you say? You'd say, Linnell, you crazy dingbat, what do you know about baseball? So I'm excited by that. I know, you know, he's happy that he's building off of, you know, what was a really good spring for him. Last year, just super disappointing for K-Bear. So to see him hitting the ball well, having confidence at the plate, I think that's awesome. The other thing, too, that really gets your boy into a lather is how well James Wood has been hitting the baseball, man. James Wood, right now, I believe tied for fifth in all of Major League Baseball with a bunch of different guys, including Mike Trout. I know Mike Trout's there for sure. I got to go back and pull up the standings or the rankings rather to see, but quickly, James Wood has turned himself into one of the best power hitters in all of Major League Baseball. I think that's been really exciting to watch throughout the year. Nathaniel Lowe, I thought, has been, you know, really good to this point as well. Top five in all of Major League Baseball in RBIs. So you're getting some positive signs from this group. I know they made a move yesterday. Was it yesterday they made their move? Adding to this bullpen that has honestly really, really struggled. I know they designated Colin Posch for assignment, and he has been the bad news bear, so to speak, for the Washington Nationals as he's gotten lit up routinely here. But overall, man, I think there's a lot to be excited about. Your top three starters, Jake Irvin, Mackenzie Gore, Mitch Parker, all three of those guys, I think, tossing it pretty well. Mitchell Parker leading the team right now with three wins, so that's pretty exciting. We've seen the highs of the highs with Mackenzie Gore, so plenty of reason for optimism with this team. We will see, though, what happens coming up here in the next month or so. Right now, as we currently sit here, it is May the 3rd. Right now on May the 3rd, the Washington Nationals 4.5 games back of the final wild card spot in the National League. They will take on Cincinnati, who is a half game back of that third and final wild card spot in the National League. So buckle up. It should be a fun rest of the season. It should be an exciting season for your Washington Nationals. Thank you to all your calls. Thank you for all your calls, rather. Thank you to our guy Metal Chris behind the glass. Thank you to our guy Matt Sims for joining the program as well. I am back with you tomorrow right here, 10-1 on The Fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.